And now, Lifestyles Unlimited presents the Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Over the next hour, we unfold your map to financial freedom. You'll learn how to retire through investing in single-family and multifamily real estate. You'll learn how to create cash flow and build wealth so you can have the time and money to live the lifestyle you want.
Hello and welcome to the show. This is Andy Webb with Lifestyles Unlimited. And as always, we're working on your financial freedom. And I thank you for joining me today. Hey, if you happen to catch last week's show, we talked pretty broadly about some of the hows when it comes to real estate investing, specifically about buying a single family rental property. And we got it really into the processes around, I would say, almost not the how to buy so much as the how to prepare to buy. What do you need to think about, right? What's your strategy? What are your targets in terms of returns and that sort of thing, where you really do want to spend a lot of time? We talked a little bit about the contract period. Beyond that, what do? We renovate. We market the house to get it leased. Do a refinance, right? We hold. Eventually, we sell. We didn't really get into that level. If you have any questions about those parts of the process or anything else, really, you can send those to me at askandy@luinc.com. Again, askandy@luinc.com, and we'll surely get into some parts of those part of the processes down the road as well. But today what I want to do is we talked about how last week. Today I want to circle back to the why. Why buy a rental house? Why invest in apartments? Why invest in rental property at all? And we're gonna focus on houses again today. And I'll tell you, there are tons of reasons. I'm going to enumerate a few just here quickly. Cash flow, equity capture, equity buildup, appreciation, tax advantages. You know what those are? Those are the five ways that we make money on our rental houses. By the way, six if you get into apartments, but we're not going to get into apartments today. But we make money five ways on our houses. Cash flow is an example. We want to see it cash flow. And in today's market, and in the markets where we're operating and we're buying and we're investing, we can add anywhere from $200 to $600 a month in extra income. That's just the cash flow, right? We make money five ways. And think about this. What if you don't just buy one house? What if you buy two or three? Well, now you have $600 to even $1,800 a month coming in. Passive income. Just passively, just on the cash flow. And in today's market, what do you think? Would that extra income be helpful to you and your family right now? I think it would be. I always welcome it. I'm always happy to add another house, to add more cash flow. It just helps us out. We can live better. And especially right now, because things seem, I don't know, maybe it's just my perception, but we're about to see, I guess. It seems a little chaotic out there to me. We don't know what is about to come at us from the election just days away. But what I do know is this: people will always need a place to live. Right? That's part of Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Got to have air to breathe, got to have water, got to have food, got to have shelter. Right? People will always need a place to live. And the government gets that as well. Whatever comes out of the election, whoever winds up on, you know, in the White House, on Capitol Hill, whoever's in control there, they know housing is important. They want to promote that. They want to promote affordable housing. Now, some parties may say, we're going to force these things upon you, but, you know, we're smart. Investors figure out a way. Workforce housing, that's what we're typically investing in. That's what we talk about anyhow on this program. The type of rental real estate that we invest in, that's what they want to see promoted out there. And in fact, we talked a few weeks ago on one of the shows about the very fact that many of those same lawmakers are real estate investors themselves. And although they may have entered the House or the Senate or even the White House thinking as, hey, we're servants to the American people, there's a lot of self-interest there. They don't want to blow that up. So I think we're pretty safe. If you miss that show, you need to, and the election and everything worries you, you need to go listen to that. That's archived on our website at lifestylesunlimited.com. So I think real estate investing remains and will remain a safe bet. I mean, it's a tangible asset that you control. It's not Bitcoin, this ethereal thing out there somewhere, right? It's tangible. I can touch it if I want to go to it. If I've bought it in Tennessee and I'm sitting in Dallas, maybe that's a little harder, but it's tangible. It's there. and it's a tangible asset that is likely to increase in value. You know, back to the five ways we make money, there's cash flow, right? There's equity capture. I'll explain that here in a minute, what that means. There's equity buildup. I'll explain that as well. But there's appreciation. Most millionaires made their wealth through real estate, and real estate tends to double in value every 20 years. That's that appreciation. And of course, the tax advantages, five ways. Where else can you do that? Where else can you do that? I want to spend a little bit of time on each of those five ways so you understand. If you're new to the show, I want you to take away today the value of real estate from that perspective, the perspective that I can do things. I can make my money five different ways. Cash flow and wealth building aspects plus the tax advantages. So we're gonna work through those. And I also want to be sure that you understand a few other concepts like the cash flow snowball. How does that play into what we do as investors? The cash flow snowball and a concept called chunking. And I really like this idea. This was presented to me long, long ago when we first found Lifestyles Unlimited. I found it just like you on the radio. And it was a notion that really helped me understand how those five ways that we make money, how the cash flow, how these things can get me to financial freedom. So understanding these concepts, cash flow snowball, chunking, but we're going to start with the five ways that we make money. That's the point of today's show. I want you to understand that because there's a tremendous amount of power in these single-family rental properties. When we bought our first one years ago, we didn't quite feel it. We heard the message, right? We heard about cash flow. We heard about the five ways we make money. But as we held on to this thing for a number of years, we really understood then the power. When we did that first cash out refinance on that particular house and the second one we bought and saw that bump to our bank account, then things started to sink in a little bit better. So it may take some doing for this to sink in, but I'm going to try to convey that today. And we're going to start with talking about the five ways that we make money just on rental houses. We do this with apartments as well. These things apply there as well. Different scale, right? Different scope, different timeline, perhaps different capital, you know, levels of capital and everything else. Houses are great because anybody can do this. Anybody can do this. And we talked on last week's show, we focused a lot on thinking about what are your targets? What kind of cash flow do I need to see? What kind of equity capture? We're going to talk about those two to begin with. And what kind of cash am I working with? What do I have to deploy? Now, a lot of people start, this is how we began as well a dozen years ago, focused on the cash flow. Why is that? Well, we'll get to the cash flow snowball and we'll get to the notion of chunking here in a little bit. But what is cash flow? Well, basically, I get this house. Maybe it's a dump. Maybe it's rent ready. But I get it to the point where it is rent ready and I get it rented. And I collect every month a gross rent, right? Maybe that's $2,000. Maybe that's $1,500. Maybe that's $1,200. Depends on your market. Depends on the property where that sits. The submarket, but we collect that gross rent. And from that rent, we're paying our fixed expenses. We're going to have a mortgage on this and we're going to have principal and interest. That's a mortgage payment. We'll pay our taxes out of that rent. We'll accrue for that property tax right at the end of the year and we'll accrue for interest. So that's the PITI. Those are our fixed expenses. Now you might be sitting there thinking about tenants, taxes, and toilets. What about the maintenance? I know there's maintenance. And that's the beauty of what we do at Lifestyles Unlimited. We go in. And even though it's a dilapidated rundown house, in fact, because it's a dilapidated rundown house, we're going to go in and we're going to fix everything that's broken now and anything that could break in the next handful of years. And if you hold that for 3 to 5 years and then sell that before these things start to cycle back around, you don't have any maintenance. That goes to zero. Now, I do elect to do some preventative maintenance. I send out my AC guy, my HVAC company, pretty soon here, actually, to service the furnaces ahead of the winter. Winter in Texas isn't too bad, but we want to check and make sure everything's functional. And then we do the same thing in the spring ahead of the hard summer months here in Texas. They can be pretty rough. So yeah, I like to do that preventative stuff. That's not a big number. So we start with our gross cash flow. We pay our fixed expenses. And at the end of the day, what do I keep? When I say cash flow, that's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the rent. I'm talking about that net amount. And on average, whether we're talking Texas, Tennessee, Georgia, North or South Carolina, across any of the markets where we operate, we see anywhere between $200 and $600 in cash flow. $400, let's just take that as the middle point. So if I buy one house, bam, I'm bringing in $400 a month. Now I buy a second one, bam, I'm bringing in $800 a month. Five, what am I bringing in? You do the math, $2,000. If I get to 10 houses, $4,000 a month. You can stop there, shift into apartments, or do like my wife and I did. We just kept going. We just kept adding, adding a house, adding cash flow, adding a house, adding cash flow. I'm gonna wink at you here over the radio. I'm winking at you. That's the cash flow snowball. I think it's bigger and bigger every time you add a property to your portfolio. But that cash flow is what you want to find. It has to cash flow. We want to see cash flow. I gave some examples on last week's show. There was a house, I believe this one was in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Cash flow was $540. That's what I'm pocketing every month. What if I buy 10 of those? Bam, north of $5K every month. We looked at a house in Missouri. I believe it was around $200. We looked at one in Houston, $200, right? So we see the range of the cash flow there. You figure out what it is you're targeting. Go find it. Buy it, get it under control, and enjoy that cash flow. Now, as part of the process, I mentioned best product, best price. We're going to go out there. We're going to fix everything that's broken now or could break in a handful of years. Typically, these houses are not in perfect, pristine shape. So we're going to have to do some level of renovation. And this is where equity capture comes into play. Because work is needed, that seller does not have a concept of what we are able to get the work done for at wholesale pricing. They think of the cost last time they had the plumber out to unclog the cast iron pipes. It was a nightmare. $500, $1,000, whatever. It was a huge number, right? All the work's going to cost, it's going to be terrible. So they sell at a discount. And the good news is you and I, we have the connections. We're well connected through our investor network. We have the general contractors. We have the plumbers. We have the electricians. We have the people that can get this done at wholesale pricing. So we get the house at a discount. Let's say we buy it for $100K. This is my preferred example. I buy it for $100K and we do $50,000 worth of work, right? Those are the renovations. That's fixing everything. That's doing cosmetic updates. You can get it done for $100. I've seen some that are $50 to $100K. Right, somewhere in there. It may be less. It depends on the product. But let's say we buy for $100, we put $50K in work in, and the house is worth $200. You can see right there, there's a $50,000 spread. That's equity capture. Right now, I'll have some money invested as part of the process, about $20K. So I've got $20K in that $50. So I've created an additional $30K through the process, equity capture. Now, as part of the process, and this is something you learn at Lifestyles Unlimited, I'm probably not going to be able to fund one of these hoarder houses or houses that is leaning a little bit too far to the side, the foundation's out of whack, the windows are broken. Probably can't just go straight into a conventional loan. In fact, you can't. So we're going to use something called hard money. It's a private lender. They're going to fund the house based on that fixed up value. So I told you the market value when we're done is 200, right? Well, typically hard money lenders will lend you 75% of that number. They see where you're going. They're not going to give you all that money at once. They're going to give you the money to get to close. That's that $100K. And then as you do the repairs, that $50K in repairs, they're going to release that when you tell them, hey, look, I've done the foundation. I've done the roof. AC is put into place. Can you release $15K or $20K? They'll send someone out to check that. Bam, work looks good. Good news. Bam, here's your $20K. So as you go through the process, you pull more money out. You pay the GC through that hard money loan. Now, it is hard money loan. It is high interest. We've got the renovations done. Well, now we want to refinance and get into that long-term debt. Hard money loans tend to be 10, 12, maybe 14%. Am I going to cash flow at 14% on a $200 note or $150 note? No. So I'm going to refinance into fixed rate 30-year debt that's going to be easily half that number. Keep an eye on mortgage rates, by the way. They are moving around quite a bit right now as we approach the election. So you need to be educated on this process, when to use hard money, when you can go straight conventional, what that brings to you, what that means in terms of equity capture. We teach all of that. Quick break. We'll be right back.
Learn to retire in 5 years or less through real estate investing. Learn how. Learn now. Let Lifestyles Unlimited show you how. Get educated now. Text the word radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007. Join for just $297. Lifestyles Unlimited.
Creating the lifestyle you've always wanted. You're hearing Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Andy Webb. If you have any questions, send those over to me at askandy@luinc.com. And if you're interested in going out to our Financial Freedom Seminar, that's part of our Financial Freedom Program membership. That's a basic membership. We want everyone to start there. In fact, we want you to take that today because we're going to dive on day one into a lot of mindset. We're going to make sure your mind is in the right place. If it's not in the right place, some of this stuff is hard to digest. So we're going to make sure you're in the right place, and then we're going to get really heavy into the single family. So what we're talking about today is how we make money with our single family houses, why we invest in a single family house. We're going to talk all about the why and the how on day one. And then on day two, we're going to come back. We're going to talk about apartments. Some people like to just do apartments. Some people, for the longest time, all I wanted to do was houses. I will tell you what, it's very, it's like popping the can off of popping the lid off the can of chips, and you eat one, and boy, are you going to be satisfied with one? No, you just plow through those things. It's very easy to do with single-family houses. It's very easy to do. You very quickly can build up a pretty sizable portfolio, and that cash flow that we talked about in the prior segment, you just compound it, and you compound it again. And that equity capture you got on the first house, well, you figure out how to repeat it on the second one, you do it again on the third one, and before you know it, you've added 30K in equity on that first one, 50 on the next one, 70 on the next one, bam, you've added 150K to your net worth. As easy as that. We talk a lot about cash flow, and we talk a lot about equity capture, and in fact, that's typically from your strategy perspective what you want to be looking at when you're analyzing an investment opportunity. What is my monthly cash flow in dollar terms, and what is my cash on cash return? And that's just a measure of my annualized cash flow, net cash flow, divided by my cash out of pocket. That's your cash on cash return. Same thing for equity capture. If I captured 30K in equity and I have 20K invested, well, I've got 150% return right there. Bam, fast. So that's the percentage amount. Maybe you want to have a dollar minimum equity capture as well. Is it 10K? Is it 20K? Is it 30K? Those are things to think about, and those are where we focus a lot. But we make money five ways on these houses is why we invest in them. And quietly working in the background, I mentioned earlier, we use financing when we buy. Typically hard money because the house needs work. That's how we get to the equity capture. We fix it up, and then we refinance into long-term debt. And once you're in that long-term 30-year fixed-rate note, should you do 15 years or 10? No, you shouldn't. You want to go into 30 because that's going to maximize your cash flow. But over time, what's happening? So you've rolled into that conventional loan. You've got it leased. You've got a resident in there. They're paying that gross rent every month. And out of that gross rent, you're paying your fixed expenses, principal, interest, taxes, and insurance. Every month, they're paying the mortgage on your behalf. So your equity builds up and builds up again as that principal is paid down. What do we call that? Quite simply, equity buildup. It's not a big number. It's very quiet. It's working in the background. For the longest time, I didn't think about it, but it's there. And at some point, I went back and looked over 3, 4, 5 years at our first property. It's like, oh, look at that. Our equity has changed significantly just through that portion. You know, I looked at my portfolio last year across all my houses. I saw a bandwidth anywhere from $1,500 on the whole year, right? So what is that? A little over $100 per month in terms of equity buildup, up to a little north of $3,000. And this is going to vary. The $1,500, that was a lower loan amount, right? Lower value house, happened to be higher interest, right? So I'm going to amortize that debt a little more slowly than some that perhaps have a lower. I've got one with a 2.75% interest rate on it. So the interest as a percentage of the total mortgage payment is lower. That one amortizes faster. I have some that are bringing $250, almost $300 a month. So anywhere from $1,500 to $3,000 just on my portfolio. Yours will be different. In percentage terms, that's a rocking 8 to 10%. That's pretty darn good. And again, in the background, I don't even think about it. I have one, by the way, 35%. Now that's a very, very low out of pocket. So a lot comes into your investing criteria. We talked about that last week. If you think I want to have an out of pocket of 10K, 20K, 30K, whatever that number is, that's going to drive your returns, of course. But equity buildup, I love it. I love it every year. We're adding significantly to our net worth just by virtue of that mortgage pay down. Another quiet operator in the background is appreciation. Now, if you're sitting on the coast listening to me, you're probably thinking, I can't cash flow here. I'm just going to buy and speculate and hope that thing goes up in value. You're hoping and praying for appreciation. At Lifestyles Unlimited, for us, that's icing on the cake. We don't bake that into our analysis. You know, when I get a lead, here, I'll just jump over to one. Here's a property I got from a realtor recently. Out of pocket, $21K. Cash flow 200 per month, equity capture 50. Tells me some of the key points I want to know. My return on equity capture, return on capital gain, purchase price after repair, market value. Nowhere in there does it tell me, well, we think over a 3-year hold, your appreciation will look like this. We think over a 5-year hold, we're not looking at that. It is icing on the cake. But the good news is that real estate on average, it doubles in value every 20 years. Some years are faster than others in terms of appreciation. But if you take that doubling in value over 20 years, that implies a roughly 3.5% appreciation rate. Think of it as a 3.5% rate of return. Again, it can swing quite a bit. And we saw big swings. I mean, Austin, Texas, over 30% in 1 year, just a handful of years ago. But right now in Texas, that's about normal. 3 to maybe 5%, depending on the market. But if you think about that, go back to that 200K house that we bought, fixed up, values now were 200. At the end of year one, if it appreciates at the rate of 3.5%, well, now it's no longer 200K, it's now worth 207. I've gained 7,000 just through that appreciation. If that repeats again, now we're at 214, we're at 221, we're at 230. Right, it steadily goes up. But even more importantly, is my return actually 3.5%? Think about this. Market value 200. Okay, went from 200 to 207. Well, that sounds like, if I do the math, yeah, that's 3.5%. But I didn't buy it all cash. This is why you as an investor should stay away from all cash. One of many reasons. On the investment I mentioned, buying for 100, doing 50K in work, value at 200, your cash out of pocket will be just a little bit below 20K. Let's just call it $20,000. That's what I have to measure against. So if that house appreciated by 7K, I've only got 20K invested. What's my return? It's not 3.5%. It's 35%. Big, big jump because I only have minimal funds invested. At the end of 3 years, that 200 has grown to 222K. So 20K invested has doubled in 3 years. We talk about doubling your wealth in 5 years, right? You can do that. So we talked about cash flow. We talked about equity capture. Right, two big ways that we make money on our houses. We talked about equity buildup and we talked about appreciation, typically quietly working in the background, may not be thinking about those. I know some people that, there was 1 year, I was analyzing my portfolio at some point, middle of the year. Somehow I missed five houses. I was like, oh, caught this the following year, went back and did the analysis and they had just jumped in value. That appreciation, I didn't even think about it in that example, but typically quietly in the background. And I'm just going to throw this out there because I've mentioned it already. Apartments make money six ways. There's something called forced appreciation. I'm not going to dive into that here. We talk about that in our two-day financial freedom seminar, but it's unique to apartments just because of how they are valued on their cash flow, on their net operating income, differently than houses are valued, which is based on comparable sales. So we have a lot more control if we can push up that value. But we get into that. We get into that quite a bit in the financial freedom seminar, unique to apartments. That's why when we say six ways on apartments, you might be scratching your head, say, okay, cash flow, I got equity capture, build up, appreciation. What am I missing? It's that forced appreciation, very unique. But both houses and apartments enjoy pretty massive, supreme tax advantages. And I'm going to start with one, which is called depreciation. I live in my, I own my personal house when we're not bumping around in the RV bunker. We do have a sticks and bricks home, and it naturally wears down over time. But I can't take that wear and tear. I can't depreciate that. I cannot use that as an expense when I think about my personal house, but I can on my rental property. So I can spread out the wear and tear, the cost of that sticks and bricks part of the house, not the land, just the sticks and bricks over 27 and a half years. I get some number. And every year I'm able to use that depreciation when I go to file my taxes on my Schedule E. My CPA helps me with this. I hand that off willingly. But if you're doing it right, because of that depreciation, that offsets your cash flow. You have low to no taxes on your cash flow. It's a paper expense. You are profitable. But in the eyes of the IRS, they're like, looks like you didn't make any money, or hey, you even made a loss. Sorry about that. So depreciation is one of the tax advantages that really helps us during our hold period, helps us enjoy greater cash flow because we don't have to think about the taxes. Now, when do we think about the taxes? Well, let's revisit that equity capture and those other gains that we have enjoyed over our hold period, the equity buildup, the appreciation. And let's say, going back to my example, we've got that 70K in equity and we want to cash that out. Now, one thing I might do, this has nothing to do with taxes, I might just do a simple cash out refinance. And normally when you do that, you can do a cash out refinance up to 75% of the value, whatever the new market value is. So you're limited in terms of how much you can take out, but that is not a taxable event. So you don't have to worry about taxes in any capacity. And over the years, when our equity gets to a certain point, bam, cash out refi, bam, cash. If you have an asset that really works for your portfolio and you want to hang on to it maybe a little longer, be sure to tap into that equity so you're not sitting on dead equity. But if you really want to get to the bulk of it, you're going to have to sell to get that additional 25%. And now you're thinking taxes. Okay, oh boy. Whew, I've depreciated the asset over 5 years. Yeah, you have to recapture that depreciation. That does come back. That does come back. And you've got that capital gain from the equity capture from when you bought, because you bought right, you bought at a discount. And over time, it's appreciated at 3.5% or whatever your market does, 5, 10, whatever. So you've got a pretty significant capital gain. Now, the good news is, because you've held this for a year and a day, it's not taxed like earned income. So if you're in a very high tax bracket, don't worry about that. It does have some impact on your capital gains, but you're taxed at capital gains rates. So as a nominal, it's a lower number. Not nominal, but it is lower. But you can defer those gains taxes. You can avoid, well, defer is a better word. You can defer those for now. And you do that by using a big part of the tax code. Again, I mentioned those politicians. They're investors, too. They like this stuff. They like this stuff. They put this there for a reason. Been there for 100 years now, but you can do what's called the 1031 exchange. And this is a specific part of the tax code that allows you to take an investment property, sell that investment property, take the gains, and roll that into like-kind property. Some other investment property. It doesn't have to be a rental house for a rental house, by the way. So for investors that have built up that pool, that portfolio of houses, maybe you sell the whole portfolio and roll into apartments as an independent rental owner of an apartment just all by yourself. That's how some members will do that. And they'll use the 1031 so they're not paying massive taxes on the gains across that whole portfolio. So you can do that. 1031 exchange. Defer the gain taxes. Roll those into one or more investment properties. And if you can find in your area, wherever you are, if you're a member at Lifestyles Unlimited, we do some lunch and learns on these topics sometimes. But I would encourage you to find some local 1031 agent. You do have to use an agent. Talk with them, number one. Have them explain the process. They can go into far better detail than I ever could. And if there's a presentation, I find this very helpful. I've seen some presentations over the years where they'll put some charts together and they'll show, well, if you just sell and pay the taxes every year, here's your progression. If you do the 1031 exchange, however, every time you sell, here's your trajectory. And you start to see that graph that has the alligator jaws. The guy that's paying the taxes is kind of on the low side. That other one, that trajectory is shooting upward because they're taking advantage of that 1031 exchange and they're able to do more with their money. So think about that. If you're planning on a longer time horizon, if you have heirs that you plan to hand these properties to, by the way, all of those gains go away when it resets at a stepped up basis, another tax advantage. So we make money multiple ways. That's the why. Cash flow, equity capture, equity buildup, appreciation, the tax advantages. I want to get back now to a concept that I want you to think about, and that's our cash flow snowball. We bought that one house. Again, they typically $200 to $600 per month. Let's just take the middle point, $400. What do? You put that away. You're already working. You're already living off your W-2 income or you and your spouse, whatever it is. So just take that, put it away. Put it away for the next house. Accrue enough, buy the next one. Now you got $800 per month coming in. Right, set that aside, get the next house. Now you're putting away $1,200 per month. You can see that number is getting bigger, and you can see how thereby you can really accelerate your process of acquiring more and more of these cash flowing assets just by amassing the cash flow. That's the cash flow snowball. It accelerates. It's not linear. It's that hockey stick going up. Every time you add another cash flowing asset and you're not using that, I use that to live off of now, so my scenario is a little bit different at the moment. But if you're working that W-2 job, every time you add to the snowball, it gets bigger and you just move faster. Very beneficial concepts. Something I want you to spend some time thinking about. Another idea that really helped me when I was starting out is called chunking. And this is a concept to helps you gradually work to financial freedom, because at the start you're thinking, man, my household, we're spending, I don't know, what is your number? $4,000 a month, $8,000 a month, whatever that number is, it seems daunting. There's no way I'm going to build up enough passive income, enough cash flow to cover that $4,000 a month. But if you can break it apart into smaller chunks, make it more bite size. How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. You can overcome those hurdles, that fear that there's just no way. Chunking, the notion of chunking helps you do that. So what I like to do is I think about, hey, I've got these utility bills. If I buy that house over there, bam, it starts kicking off $400 per month. I'm covering my electric bill. I'm covering my gas, my water, right? That's chunking. I've got a car payment, so I'm going to go buy two more houses. They're going to kick off the cash flow to cover that chunk of my lifestyle, my expenses. I'm going to go buy another house. Bam, that's covering half my mortgage. Buy another one. Bam, that's covering the other half. So take a look at your monthly expenses and start to look at how you can break that big, scary $4,000, $8,000, $12,000 number apart and start to attack that in chunks. Don't try to do it all at once. That will potentially overwhelm you. But if you can make it bite size by chunking, right? Get a chunk of cash coming in, passive income, offset that chunk going out. Now, when you're building your snowball, right, you might want to accrue that cash first. But at some point, you're going to start to view your lifestyle in chunks. And every time you take on a new debt for some reason, buy a new house, bought the RV, put a note on it, bought a house, cash comes in, offsets that debt. It's a net zero. That's cash flow chunking. So two concepts to think about, the snowball and chunking. What does all this do for you? Well, eventually, you've chunked enough of that cash flow coming in that you're financially free. All of your expenses are met by passive income, and you ask yourself the question, do I need to work anymore? Well, you can think about that. Maybe you do. Maybe you don't. Remember, it's not the money. It's the lifestyle. You have a good day.
Thank you for listening to Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. We want to meet you as well. Sign up for a free workshop at lifestylesunlimited.com. Until next time, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.